This is Cole Zimmerman, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Warren, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Agriculture Today. As we're on the go today from the Red River Watershed Management Board, their joint conference with the Flood Damage Reduction Working Group, this meeting underway in Moorhead. We've got a whole lot to learn in this half hour ahead, but first, let's get an update on markets. Randy Conan standing by. Thanks so much, Randy. Once again, we are at the Red River Watershed Management Board and the Flood Damage Reduction Working Group 25th Annual Conference. Executive Director Rob Sipp with us from the Water Management Board. 25 years, that's an accomplishment in itself.
Yes, it is. We're very happy to be here at our 25th anniversary of this event. We've got a really good group today, about 85, 90 people. We've got a lot of great topics. We're doing quite a bit on project updates regarding some of the flood projects we're working on, and we've been hearing about legislative updates and technical issues and so forth, so it's been good.
Speaking of legislative updates, we're in the early part of this session, and obviously a lot of work you're doing on what's happening in St. Paul. What's kind of your take on where we're sitting right now?
Well, the big thing is we are requesting $57 million in bonding dollars for flood hazard mitigation. So we know we have a little bit of the session to go yet. The session wraps up here in May, and more than likely the real discussions probably won't happen till later in May. And so if we get some of those dollars to get these projects done, we could get about 100,000 acres feet of new water storage on the ground.
What kind of projects are we talking about, Rob?
So we're talking about city flood damage reduction projects and then some large-scale flood impoundments. So good variety of projects going, and they're kind of scattered all throughout the Red River Valley.
We're obviously always looking at costs. Inflation certainly doesn't help when we're taking a look at what's happening, rising costs with all these type of projects.
Right, yeah, the last 2 years were not friendly with inflation. A couple of years ago, it was about 9%. Last year over 12%, and they say it's a little bit lower this year, but it doesn't feel like it. So those project costs are still up there, unfortunately.
I'm curious, very little chance of much flooding, significant flooding this year in the valley. Does that impact your discussion when you're in St. Paul and talking to lawmakers?
Yeah, it sure can. I mean, what's fresh on their minds is, no flood this year, and then there was a lot of money allocated for flood hazard mitigation last year. So a little bit more challenging this year.
Our memory gets short. We got to realize these are long-term type of infrastructure projects.
Yeah, exactly. And with flood infrastructure, sometimes it's the forgotten infrastructure. And these projects can take like 20 years from beginning to end.
Well, it's very important work that's happening here. Again, it is the Red River Watershed Management Board and the Flood Damage Reduction Working Group. Their 25th annual conference underway in Moorhead. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Good afternoon, Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. We're on the go today. I'm Don Wick, and we'll also be hearing more from Randy Conan and Tyler Donaldson as well. But we are coming to you from the 25th anniversary convention of the Red River Watershed Management Board and the Flood Damage Reduction Working Group. They're meeting in Moorhead as we speak. Good meeting, good attendance here at this session today as well. We're visiting right now with the treasurer of the Red River Watershed Management Board, Jason Broughton, also manager of the Roseau River Watershed District. I want to start, first of all, you're a farmer as well. Give me your perspective on some of these flood mitigation efforts. What's this mean to you?
This means a lot. I mean, it really makes it a lot easier for us to farm. It gives us kind of some protection. You know, now we don't really have to worry about these floods coming. If we can control them some more, we're not so worried about me losing so much land.
Yeah. Talk to me about some of the success stories. What have you seen here in some of the work that we have done?
We've done a lot up and down the whole valley. We've helped out. We're doing one now up in Roseau where we're doing old restoration of a lake bottom. They drained it out 100 years ago, thinking all these migrants are going to work, come and live out there. Found out it's a lake bottom. So we started construction last fall, and we're going to have about 22,000 acre feet of storage, gated storage. So it helps up there. Farmers are going to get probably 7 to 10 days earlier into the field because we're going to control this water a little bit better. I mean, that's a great success story for up there because the water goes slow and we can control it. It's great for us.
That means bushels. That means dollars at the end of the year.
That's right. You know, and the margin, everybody knows the margins have gotten quite a bit closer on farming, but the price of fertilizer, machinery, everything. well, if we can get that extra few bushels, get a little bit better, more protection for us. So when we put all that money out in the field, you know, you don't make money on insurance. Nobody wants to collect insurance year in and year out. That's why these projects are great everywhere you put them.
You obviously get a lot of cooperation from the landowner, from the farmers in these type of efforts.
Yeah, I mean, it is, sometimes it is a challenge, because when you come in and you try to explain to some farmers, but now we've done so many projects up and down the valley. So you go tell them, hey, you know, when you're driving to Grand Forks, take this road and you'll see a project. And they'll come back and they go, wow, you know, how can we got to get something like that? You know, and you see that there's getting more and more movement for people to do these kind of projects.
We're talking a lot about flood mitigation, but there's a water quality story to all of this as well.
That's the big thing. You know, everybody always thinks, oh, you see these big retention areas, but they don't realize is we get an awful lot of water quality, because instead of having big, deep ditches just flushing the system, we slow the water down some. So we're not getting all that sediment going into the Red River or all the rivers around. So, I mean, it's a big deal. I mean, to slow it down, let it go out quite a bit slower, we're seeing great water quality out of this.
It's one of those unseen stories probably for a lot of folks. They don't understand all the work, the years of work that goes into these type of projects.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if we do them, if most projects take about 10 years. I mean, just to do a new ditch system, that's a five-year. But when you go through all the permitting and funding, you got to find money someplace. And it's gets kind of tough once in a while to find it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We're going to continue our conversation again from the Red River Watershed Management Board and the Flood Damage Reduction Working Group meeting underway in Moorhead. Now with more farm news, Randy Conan.
All right, thanks, Don. With the snowpack or snow back in the forecast, NDSU Extension Livestock and Beef Quality Specialist Lisa Peterson has some tips for cattle producers ahead of this next wave of storms expected to impact the region.
Closer to the farm, getting them, you know, some better bedding. Remember, you know, that bedding is so important, and it can really decrease that cold weather and that cold, those cold weather effects, especially on calves and lambs, and getting them in better protection, some better windbreak. But also, you know, remembering to up our feed. It takes more feed when animals are cold and when they are lactating. And so upping our feed and our energy.
And Peterson advises stocking up on supplies now.
You know, I'd also like to remind producers to get some supplies on hand now. You know, I recall in the last 2 years that when these storms have come through, producers have had a tough time finding colostrum because there's been a run on colostrum when, you know, these calves don't get up and suck. So, you know, maybe getting some of that colostrum on hand, getting towels, and however you go about warming up young neonate animals, have that stuff tested out and ready as well.
A Stevens County, Minnesota goat has tested positive for avian flu. According to the Minnesota Board of Animal Health, this is the first case of avian flu infecting a domestic ruminant. The finding is significant for indicating the possibility of transmission between other farm animals, though according to state veterinarian Brian Hoffs, research has shown that mammals are unlikely to spread the virus any further.
Beneficial rains fell across much of Brazil and Paraguay this week. World Weather Incorporated says much of the second crop corn areas in central and northern Brazil will see additional rains continue through the end of the week. Southern areas will be drier and crop stress will increase as temperatures climb into the 100s. Eastern Argentina could see excessive rains, which could cause some additional crop quality concerns. World Weather says the remainder of Argentina is expected to see mostly favorable field conditions over the next 2 weeks.
And the North Dakota Board of Animal Health has officially recognized states that have earned the status as free of bovine brucellosis and bovine tuberculosis under the USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service guidelines. North Dakota Agriculture Commissioner Doug Goering says the free status recognition will allow North Dakota beef cattle and bison producers to have reciprocity with other free status states. Michigan remains the only state not recognized to be free of tuberculosis due to infections in some deer populations in the northern part of the state.
American Soybean Association President Josh Gackel testifying before the U.S. House Ag Committee today to address the ongoing trade war with China on U.S. soybean farms. farms. During the testimony, Gackle emphasized the importance of maintaining economic ties with China while addressing geopolitical concerns. Gackle also highlighting the significant role of soybean exports, particularly to China, and the detrimental effects of tariffs imposed during a trade war. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Good afternoon. Farm news on the Red River Farm Network, and we're on the go today. Don Wick with you with more this noon hour on the Red River Farm Network. Our update coming to you from the Red River Watershed Management Board and the Flood Damage Reduction Working Group Joint Conference, their 25th annual, underway in Moorhead. Our guest right now, Chuck Fritz, Executive Director of the International Water Institute. We're here to talk about the LIDAR, extensive LIDAR project here in the Red River Basin. Maybe educate me, first of all, LIDAR, what does that mean?
LIDAR, it stands for Light Detecting and Ranging. It's a technology to quickly and accurately collect elevation data across huge areas of the land surface. It's a technology that uses airplanes, computers, and lasers.
Did an extremely extensive project that the data just released here a month or two back. This follows up what was done maybe, 10, 20 years ago?
Yeah, 2008 was our first foray into the LIDAR world. We collected about 53,000 square miles of LIDAR data across North Dakota and Minnesota portions of the Red River Basin. This time it was a little bit smaller. We collected about 20,300 square miles on the Minnesota side of the Red River Basin, and it represents about a fifth of the state of Minnesota. But basically it allows us to know or accurately predict elevation to within a few centimeters at any point on the ground.
Compare from what you saw in 2008 to what we have this data.
Yeah, in 2008, the pinnacle of the technology allowed us to collect, it's changed so much, but it was actually they measure the accuracy or the density, nominal point spacing. Our point spacing in 2007 was 1 point every 1.4 meters. This time around, simply because of updates to the technology and the power of the lasers, it was 1 point every 0.35 meters.
The imagery, it's just amazing. How where is this available if someone wants to utilize this data?
You can actually view the products, and so the LIDAR data are actually point data. But we derive product from those. And an example of a product is something called a digital elevation model, which is basically a digital representation of the Earth's surface. We created 1 foot contours. Those products are available on the International Water Institute's website. There's actually a map portal that you can access to view those data across North Dakota and Minnesota.
So folks, just Google that International Water Institute. They'll find that information.
Yes.
Good deal. We sure appreciate the chance to learn more about this exciting work that's been done here.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
Chuck Fritz with us from the International Water Institute. Again, talking about that extensive LIDAR project. We've got more to come. This is Don Wick on the Red River Farm Network. And back to the studio. Randy, Tyler.
Thanks, Don. Paradigm Futures market analyst Kent Beadle says a couple of news items are supporting the soybean market.
The strength today is all in the soybean. And we've had two major things going on in beans. We have strength from the soybean oil sector, and quite specifically palm oil in Malaysia has been on a tear and made 9-month highs here again today. That's helping support the oil component of the crush. But then we also ended up selling a couple of cargoes of old crop soybeans to unknown destinations.
Beadle says the livestock markets are quiet today.
The hogs today, after being down pretty hard yesterday, they have managed to rally back slightly, whereas the live cattle just trading a little bit firmer here once again. The expectations are is that cash trade might perk up again and trade a little bit higher again this week.
Corn Belt Marketing market analyst Sam Hudson calls that livestock market choppy as well.
At cattle and feed out, general consensus is to see placements 106 to 108%, and I think the auction data and the weather that we've had over the last several months probably supports that idea. So to find a surprise is going to be kind of tough. actually could be kind of easier to find a bullish surprise if that doesn't come in true. But at the end of the day, I think we need to see another leg higher in cash prices before futures can react. And if we see a tepid market there and get a neutral to negative number on the cattle on feed compared to estimates, you could see a kind of a quick blowback here. But this quarterly data next week is going to be just as important, particularly when you talk about feeder cattle and the cost of feed here going into spring.
You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. On the go today at the Red River Watershed Management Board and the Flood Damage Reduction Working Group joint conference underway in Moorhead. Dan Money with us, who's co-chair of the Flood Damage Reduction Working Group, also administrator of the Two Rivers Watershed District in far northwestern Minnesota. Dan, educate me, first of all, on the Flood Damage Reduction Working Group.
Well, the work group goes back, this is our 25th year anniversary since we signed what was called a mediation agreement. And real quick background on that was the Red River Watershed Management Board was formed in the 1970s, mainly for the focus of flood damage reduction. So they were building impoundments, big water storage areas, hold the water. After the flood goes by, then you let the water go. Well, there was about 33 of them that were built, and then you got to need environmental permits, wetland permits and whatnot. And the DNR and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers were starting to look at a cumulative effect on all of these impoundments of the whole Red River Valley. Long story short, they held all of the permits in abeyance. The Red Board sued them, and it went to mediation. And the judge said, you will hire a mediator, and you're going to work through this. So lock everybody up in a room and don't come out until you're done.
Obviously, that's worked.
It has, absolutely. So this mediation agreement that was signed, it was a lot of state agencies, federal agencies, environmental groups, the Red River Watershed Management Board, and others. And so now forms the basis of what we're doing now these days is in order to build a project, you go through a process, you have everybody in the room, you look at all your permits that you need, you look at the natural resource enhancements that a project can do, and of course, from our side, the flood damage reduction that you can do. So we've been able to build quite a few projects now, and that's where we're at. So
again, it takes that local, regional, and even federal perspective, really.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yep. It is. It's a many hands make a little bit of work, right? But this is these projects do take many years. There's a lot of background that goes into them, and just a lot of consideration. And not everybody's always going to get exactly what they want. And, water is a hot topic. So we do say if we can, everybody leaves the room and they can live with it, that's a good thing. We've probably done our job.
Good deal. Again, on the road today, watershed management meeting underway as we speak. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Try to tell us.